Welcome to our Christmas broadcast. Today I'm going to be talking about faith is found in the beauty of the heart. So I'll begin by sharing two or three stories and then get into more of a discussion about faith and the heart. We're told that it is from the center of love that all saviors throughout the ages and in all countries went forth, taking with them the message of compassion, the message of beauty and service, sacrifice, simplicity, and fearlessness. So I was thinking, I'm not going to be talking about it or elaborating on it this morning, but the center of love, to let that be a seed thought for today, between today and New Year's Day, to really think about the center of love that all saviors throughout the ages in all countries went forth. The center of love. You know, we hear these words and then they just kind of pass through our brain and we move on without really, really focusing on what is the center of love. What is the heart of the universe? What is the cosmic magnet? Because they're all related. And it's from this center that these great ones came forth to sacrifice for us. We believe that Christ is on the way back to humanity to renew in our hearts a greater hope, a greater faith, and a greater love. Master Moria gave us a beautiful story about Christmas. Helena Rourke wrote it as he gave it to her, and she put it in her book on Eastern Crossroads. And this is the story. What star was it that guided the Magi? Of course, it was the command of the Brotherhood. To hail Jesus, to safeguard, and to bring some means to the poor family. We walked over the face of the earth, not knowing the exact spot. The commands of the teraphim directed us or led us from day to day. When we heard, "It is near," we had just lost all signs of habitation. Could one expect a miracle of so unprecedented an annunciation in the midst of camel dung and the braying of donkeys? Human thought attempted to locate the future prophet, perhaps near a temple, or at least majestic walls. We received the command to halt at a humble inn. In the low-ceilinged house with clay walls, we stopped for the night. A fire in a small oil lamp filled the room with a red glow. After our meal, we noticed that a servant poured out the remains of the milk into a separate amphora. We said to her, "It is not right to save it." "But," she said, "it is not for thee, O Lord, but for a poor woman. Here behind the wall lives a carpenter. Recently a son was born to him." Extinguishing the fire, we laid on our hands and asked, "Whither shall thou go further?" Came the answer, "Nearer than the nearest, lower than the lowest, higher than the highest." Not understanding the meaning, we besought a command, but we were told, "Let the ears hearken." And we sat in the darkness in silence, and we heard how somewhere beyond the wall, a child had begun to cry. We began to mark the direction of the cry, and we heard the mother's song so often heard in the homes of husbandmen. Let people count thee a plower, but I know, my son, thou art a king. Who save thee shall raise the best seed, the most fruitful. The Lord shall call my little one and say, thy seed alone has glorified my feast. Sit with me, king of the worthiest seeds. As we heard this song, three knocks resounded in the ceiling. We said, in the morning, we shall go there. Before dawn, we donned our finest garments and besought the servant to lead us in the direction of the cry. She said, the Lord wishes to visit the family of the carpenter. I had better lead you around, for here one must pass through the cattle fold. Recalling the command, we chose the shortest way. Here behind the manger was a tiny dwelling leaning against a rock. Here by the hearth was a woman, and in her arms, he. What signs accompanied? He stretched out his little hand, and on the palm was a red sign. Upon this sign we placed the most precious pearl of those we had brought. Bestowing the treasures and the sacred objects, we warned the mother of the need of wanderings, and at once we turned back, crossing the same manger. Behind us, the mother said, see, my little one, thou art the king. Set this diamond upon the forehead of the steed. We departed, bearing in mind the sign of the red star upon the palm. Then also had been said, remember the day of the red star upon the forehead of the warrior. In the Ageless Wisdom book titled The Externalization of the Hierarchy, it is said this, the point of decision, as is called in all hierarchical circles, was reached during the period between the full moon of June 1936 and the full moon of June 1945. The point of decision resulted in the decision by the Christ to reappear or to return to a visible presence on earth as soon as possible and considerably earlier than had been planned. This decision was necessarily made in consultation with the Lord of the world, the Ancient of Days. And another story. M.M. says that Jesus was born from a very poor family when the hierarchy sent him to the world. When he was in the hierarchy, he knew he was coming. But when he entered into babyhood, he needed protection, also protection financially. So they brought expensive jewels, myrrh, incense, which was very expensive at that time. And his mother was using these jewels and treasures to support him. His father had passed away very soon. When Jesus was 13 years old, Joseph passed away. So Jesus remained alone with the mother. His mother did not work. It was a very critical thing in the East to lose your husband. Your relatives come and bring a few things to help you live. So the hierarchy wanted to support him. And that is why Jesus went from here to there, all over the world, without worrying about money. the higher he supplied all these things in him through the three kings. At every Christmas, our inner spark slowly must come and reveal itself as our true self, our capital S self, as a shadow becomes a reality and then suddenly begins to appear. This is a mystery. For example, before Christ, the Druids made a big temple we call Stonehenge, and on the night of the 24th of December at midnight, they used to make a big bonfire. Then the strongest people would light their torches and run through all of the villages and give fire to the accumulated piles of wood. At midnight, the whole sky, the valleys and mountains, burned with beautiful fires because they wanted to greet the newborn sun, which will be the first baby in the year, born on the 25th in the early morning. We are told that on the 24th, early morning, or before midnight, a constellation starts to climb on the eastern horizon. That is the constellation Virgo. And when that constellation starts to climb, another big star along the meridian line, which is Sirius, and then the three kings appear in Orion. Then in the early morning, the sun comes out from the constellation of Virgo. So a virgin gave birth to a son, and she remained a virgin. This is a cosmic happening. The Virgo sign is the giving birth to the sun, the light giver, and the star of the east is there, and the three kings are there to salute. So the rest of today's talk will be about faith. To have faith means to have belief. And I believe today more than perhaps a century, it is more important than ever to have faith. It's almost like, to me, it's like from what I observe and how I listen to other people and hear about their pain and their sorrows and their, even some who have been betrayed, that faith is becoming an echo that is so dim that they can barely hear it or even feel it. And so perhaps today and this weekend and between now and New Year's, really think about faith and what it means to your essential self. And let faith be like a huge bell that is resounding a note that is so loud that we can not only hear the initial strike of the bell, but we can hear the echoes. And this time, rather than the echoes fading away, we can recognize the echoes of this bell, which is sounding the note of faith, is going out through all the kingdoms of humanity, from the lower to the highest, and bringing our faith back to center. So to have faith means to have belief. Belief in something greater than today, greater than yesterday, and greater than tomorrow. To have faith means to have an unshakable belief in something. So you see, when that huge temple bell sounds the note, it's so loud and ringing in our ears, it's deafening to everything else but the principle of faith. And so no matter what is happening, what events, what difficulties, what sadness, what sorrows, what betrayals are taking place as these little earthly episodes in our life, that faith supersedes everything that's given to us on this planet. So faith means to have an unshakable belief in something, a belief that no earthquake, no flood, no crisis, and no loss can remove from us. Faith is found in the beauty of your heart. Rabindranath Tagore, I can't pronounce his name, Rabindranath Tagore.
Yes.
Tagore said, faith is the bird that feels the light and sings when the dawn is still dark. We often hear the phrase blind faith. Faith, according to popular thinking, implies a perpetual state of blindness, of not knowing or comprehending, groping in the dark, floating in a groundless, unreal way of belief. It is therefore extremely important to differentiate between the false concept of faith and the real concept of faith. There is an aphorism which says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our heart is the sanctuary where the Lord of the world dwells in all his glory. If you feel that the Most High exists within your heart, then you understand the beauty of faith. If you feel that the Most High exists within your heart, you will start living a life of faith, no matter what is going on in your day-to-day earthly life. You will start living a life of faith. You will start living a life of beauty and light and love. For such a life is not made of masks. It is not made of fears or of artificiality or of pseudo-images. The one of faith is the messenger of the great ones. Every year at Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ, the great flame. This is our legacy. A reminder that each of us is, in essence, a living flame, a spark of God. In that knowledge, we celebrate the next coming to renew in our hearts a greater hope, a greater faith, and a greater love. In this knowledge, we place our faith. So when we celebrate the next coming, when you've lived as long as I have, and others have, even longer than I have, some of them have lost that faith that great one is coming. So I've thought a lot about it because I haven't lost my faith. And I feel that great one has come. Someday in the physical presence, this is what the teaching is telling us, will appear in a physical presence. But if Christ is part of your whole being, then hasn't Christ returned with the mother of the world? Not just the masculine, but the feminine, married in our heart. So the two origins, the male and the feminine, Christ being the male, the feminine being the mother of the world. When the mother of the world, the seeds of the mother of the world, the seed, the spark of Christ is filling our beingness, we don't have to even think about faith. Faith is us. So Christ is with us, with so many of us, and that light shines through. faith is blind until we give birth to the Christ within. Once you give birth to the Christ within your heart, the Master within your heart, this eternal flame will forever keep you united with the principle of life, the principle of life. And in that principle, you will find faith. Each morning upon awakening, you should say, "Salutations to the Christ within my heart." So do you have faith? Do you have a deep faith in the divine power? Look for the signs. If you feel you have faith, but sometimes you recognize that faith is waning because of situations going on in your life, look for the signs, because the signs that you are protected, that divinity is embracing you, that the Christ has not abandoned you, that hierarchy is there, and hierarchy will send its messenger to you to help you. So if you find that your faith is fading, look for the signs. For to you these powers are not invisible, but rather visible. The signs will be visible for you to see how divinity works in the world of mankind. You see life through your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and women too. Pope John Paul II said, "Faith leads us beyond ourselves. It leads us directly to God." If you have a closed heart, you will not have faith. If your mind rules your heart, you will not have faith. Martin Luther King said, "Faith is the opening of all sides and at every level of one's life to the divine inflow." The Dalai Lama said, "Faith leads you to a higher state of existence, whereas reason and analysis lead you to full liberation. The important point is that the faith one has in the context of one's own spiritual practice must be grounded in reason and understanding. The person who is all mind will rely only on historical fact. The person who has faith is, through his heart, open to the divine inflow of the power of Christ." Do you have faith? Do you really have faith? If you do, you know that faith moves mountains. Christ was known for his healing powers. One day he heard someone say, "Thank you for healing me." Christ looked at him and said, "Your faith healed you." Do you need healing? Physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing, spiritual healing. To be healed, you must have faith. In the book 100 Names of God by Torquem Seredarian, it says, "Faithfulness means you live in him, you think in him, you feel in him, and you act in him. He is your innermost self." So what prevents us from having faith? And here's a short list. A lack of contact with the beauty, the light, and the love of Christ. A lack of belief in the return of the Christ. A lack of belief in the spiritual hierarchy, the kingdom of God. a lack of beauty in your life, a lack of love, a lack of joy, a lack of creativity, a lack of blessing in your life, and a lack of respect for all life and all kingdoms. People who are lacking in faith have placed their beliefs in the material rather than in the spiritual side of life. They've placed their belief in money, in objects, in the intellect, in degrees and diplomas, in professional positions, and this and that, all things which are of a transient nature. And it just reminds me, and I won't mention his name, but there's a well-known comedian who really is more of a politician, who absolutely does not believe in God, absolutely does not believe in anything beyond this life. I mean, he's a good man. He is a really good man and quite intellectual. But now he's in his 70s and he's interviewing different people, different Hollywood personalities and movie stars. Sometimes I find it too difficult to listen to and turn him off, but I want to learn. I want to be educated. And what's popping up in some of these conversations is his fear of dying. And I just can't, I wish he would listen to this, but he won't hear. He won't have the ears to hear, even if he does listen. You know, because the heart has to be open. People lose all their money and they become faithless. They lose their minds and they become faithless. They lose their degree to paying jobs and lose their faith in life. Their husband or wife leaves them and they lose their faith in life. What is most interesting to me is that oftentimes, as a person is experiencing loss, if there's any kind of element of faith in their heart, it will draw someone back into their life, which increases that kernel of faith. If not, in time, that person will become cold-hearted, an agnostic or an atheist. When you compose a poem of beauty, that beauty remains with you and gives you faith in the spiritual power of beauty. When you compose music heard in the higher worlds, the language of the higher worlds will remain with you, giving you the faith in the higher worlds. When you commune with God in all His glory, you have faith in the continuity and immortality of life. Faith is a word, but the power of faith is beyond words. It is experience. It is knowledge. And it is beingness. When we read in the teachings that Christ is on the way back to the world of humanity to renew in our hearts, to bring a greater hope, a greater faith, and a greater love, those who gave birth to Christ within their hearts know He is there and He will return. This is faith. To have faith means you know He will never forsake you, no matter what happens. To have faith means you know He will never betray you. Remember, Pope John Paul said, faith leads us beyond ourselves. It leads us directly to God. Faith is important for all religions. Some people say, if we believe in God, and it turns out that He does exist, we'll be safe. And if He doesn't, we won't have lost anything. Some people speak of a leap of faith, like a child jumping off the table into the arms of his father. The child is not 100% sure that his father will catch him, but he has enough faith to jump. In Agni Yoga, our faith is real. It is formed by giving birth to the flame within our heart. See the Christ within. It is not blind. It is not a leap. Faith for the Agni Yogi, for the student of ageless wisdom, for the spiritual student, faith is active. Faith is a knowingness that you live in him, you think in him, you feel in him, you act in him. He is your innermost self. This is our refuge, our faith. And from this refuge springs beauty and goodness and joy and freedom. When you are confused or angry or lost, if you practice these principles, you will find your faith and live your faith. It will keep you going through the dark days and nights of your life. When you breathe in beauty and exhale beauty, faith is not blind. When you breathe in love and exhale love in all that you do, faith is not blind. When you give forgiveness and ask for forgiveness, faith is not blind. When you give gratitude and receive gratitude, faith is not blind. Christ was born over 2,000 years ago, but those who have faith continue to celebrate his birth. What he gave to the world continues to live in the hearts and minds today. It is our faith that causes us yearly to celebrate the birth of Christ. So as you each year celebrate the birth of Christ, you will also yearly celebrate your own birth. For we are all born of the Most High. So in closing, faith gives us confidence. Self-confident people have a deep faith in the divine, the invisible powers, because their contact with their inner divinity is magnetic to the divine help. This is why we say, have faith. Merry Christmas.